After days of hesitation, former Prime Minister Tony Abbott has given a conditional yes to taking on the job of Indigenous envoy. Labor MP Linda Burney joins me on the phone now. Linda Burney, putting your political differences aside, can you acknowledge that Tony Abbott is passionate about improving the lives of Indigenous Australians?
I don't think there's any question that Tony Abbott is passionate about Indigenous affairs, and he's demonstrated that. But I do question a number of things. Firstly, just how seriously the Prime Minister is taking the Indigenous affairs portfolio. And secondly, the actual record of Tony Abbott when he was the Prime Minister in the Indigenous affairs space.
What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is that what it strikes me as, and many people have spoken to me today in relation to this, in fairly alarming terms, I have to say, that I think it was a ministerial afterthought that Scott Morrison had. What he's really trying to do is soothe some of the terrible divisions within the Liberal Party.
But what did you mean about Tony Abbott's legacy in this space?
Oh, Tony Abbott's legacy is that there has been no consultation about this with the Prime Minister's own Indigenous Council. Under Tony Abbott's Prime Ministership, we saw $500 million taken out of the Aboriginal Affairs budget.
But Linda Burney, the truth of the matter is you can be passionate about a cause and not throw money at it. More money is not always the answer. In fact, often money is the root of the problem in Indigenous affairs.
Well, in that space, money is, well, is very important, and taking $500 million away from the poorest, most vulnerable, sickest people in the country
does
mean a
lot. But it's about spending it wisely, though, isn't it?
Of course it is. Let's come to that. Tony Abbott has said today that he's going to make education his big centrepiece. And when he was a Prime Minister, Emma, he spent $80 million on a thing called the Remote School Attendance Program, which was about getting First Nations children to school and participating. It has been an abject failure, and we've seen a 1% increase across the board over 4 years in school attendance. And we don't even know whether or not the program that Mr. Abbott implemented had anything to do with that. I guess the other thing to say is that you can be passionate, which is fantastic, but what we did see, and I saw this up close and firsthand, was a real move towards paternalism with Tony Abbott's leadership.
In the 7 years the Labor Party was in government, what did they achieve in this space that improved lives? Because we know that since the Kevin Rudd apology, things have not improved for Aboriginal people in this country.
Well, the Kevin Rudd apology was in, I think, the 13th of February 2008. And along with that came a Closing the Gap program, which I'm sure most listeners would be familiar with, which had 7 goals to achieve, including life expectancy equity, infant mortality, and a whole range of other areas in literacy. The refusal to add in benchmark around child removal and imprisonment rates has been an ongoing issue. And we did see improvements in those areas, but the last 5 years we've just seen an absolute drop-off in meeting those goals, and that now those goals have been withdrawn. The Closing the Gap goals have been withdrawn. There's something else coming in its place. I guess the other thing is that it just seems that there has been such a move away from involving Aboriginal people in decisions that affect the lives of Aboriginal people. And the Prime Minister, and if Tony Abbott feels he wants to have a job, then he might want to focus on implementing the Uluru Statement from the Heart and putting an Aboriginal voice to the Parliament.
Moving on to another topic, the Liberal MP Julia Banks' decision that she'll quit the Parliament and not recontest the marginal seat of Chisholm at the next federal election. She talked about bullying and intimidation. Mm. Is that unique to the Liberal Party, or is there somewhat of a bullying culture in politics widely?
Well, I've never experienced a bullying culture or any aspects of bullying. I truly haven't. What I'm focused on very much is my responsibilities, my new responsibilities as Shadow Minister for Family and Social Services, and also the elevation of prevention of family violence to the Shadow Cabinet. So that's my concentration. Julia Banks has made decisions, and I guess really what it demonstrates to me, Emma, is that the wheels will continue to fall off the wagon of the government. And I think we are, as you just reported, we are going to see more people leaving for various reasons to do with the leadership changes.
But given she talked about bullying and intimidation, what do you think about some of her male colleagues coming out today, like Craig Kelly, saying, in fact, you just have to roll with the punches?
Well, I think that the institution of Parliament should be like any other workplace, and people should be conducting themselves as any other workplaces, which is what I've experienced. And that means that there should be no culture of bullying or intimidation. If Julia Banks is coming out and making those accusations and saying those things, I've got no reason to disbelieve her. And you have to ask questions about the process and the rivalry and the vindictiveness that's left with this leadership change.
Linda Burney, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Emma.